Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we just pray that you would just let us be so aware of your still small voice speaking to us today, Lord God. We just pray, Lord God, that you would help us to know your truth, the truth that sets us free, Lord God, that we would hear your voice and that, Lord, we would be faithful to your call. Lord, just pray today as we come around your word, Lord, as we gather together today, Lord Jesus, we would have such a delight, such a joy in simply following your call. Lord, our joy would be to delight ourselves in you. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for your amazing love and grace for us, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to each one of us, Lord, about things that are happening in our lives, Lord God, our circumstance, our griefs, our joys, our burdens, our sadness, Lord God, and you would just lead us forward in all these things. And Lord, our delight would be to hear and follow your call, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for the way you're speaking to us already, Lord. Lord, just pray that you'd help us to be attentive to your voice, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good to be together in church this morning. And this morning, I really want to kind of follow on from what was shared last week. We had three amazing testimonies last week, didn't we? And hope you've been praying for those guys as Rach encouraged us, JC and Lauren and Izzy. And this morning, I just want to, in a way, follow on from that. It's amazing how God has been speaking to me over the week even. And I kind of had some thoughts I wanted to share last week. And Hartley was looking this morning. He's like, you got the same verses, but you're changing all your points. I'm like, yeah, I am. Anyway, if you got your Bible there, we're going to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's read together. Thank you, Lord. Encourage you, bring your Bibles, open up, even though it's on the screen, have it in your Bibles there, you can underline and circle things that God's speaking to you about. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Paul says this, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry, and we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did, and they died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did. Do you hear the parallel? Sexual immorality, grumbling. It's an interesting parallel. Don't grumble as some of them did, and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. So, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. You are reasonable people. I love that statement. It's like, you're reasonable people. That's us, isn't it? We're reasonable people. Decide for yourselves if what I'm saying is true. We all go through all different kinds of experiences and challenges and great times of celebration, just as the people of Israel did. We go through ups and downs, and life is a roller coaster. Just gotta ride it. Where did that come from? But through it all, God's desire for us is to simply trust in Him. We don't trust in the joy. We don't trust in the stuff. We trust in Him. And you know, it's so cool to hear Vi share her testimony. We caught up probably a month ago now, and I said, oh, I've got to get you to share this testimony. And it didn't work that week, and it didn't work the next week, and it was kind of been shuffling around. And I just heard hear Vi share this morning. To be honest, I was kind of going, I can't remember the full story. But as she's sharing it, I'm going, wow, God, your timing is amazing. Trust in Him. This morning, we're going to have a look at Elijah. And I don't know how much you know about the life of Elijah, but it is amazing. And we're going to just do a bit of a skim over his life as we look at some points from his life this morning. The story of Elijah begins in 1 Kings chapter 17, where Elijah comes to King Ahab and says, there's going to be no rain in the land until I give the word. That's a big statement. It's like we don't kind of hear the backstory of what God has said to Elijah or how that's come to pass, but he speaks it out, and then Elijah goes into the wilderness. Elijah goes in the wilderness and he's fed by ravens. Ravens come and drop off the food. I think that's a fantastic idea. It was kind of like the first Uber Eats sort of a like drone drop. It's like, no, God just brought ravens, dropped off the food. And he had a stream there he drank from. But after some time, we don't know exactly how long, it says the water dried up. And then God said, go to Sidon. And he goes into Sidon and he says, you're going to meet a widow and her son. And the flour and the oil that she has is never going to run out. And he goes into Sidon, he meets this woman, and he says, would you make me some bread? And she said, I've only got this last little bit left. I'm going to make this loaf of bread. I'm going to feed it to my son and I, and then we're going to get ready to die. She's in a desperate place. She has got nothing left. But she obeys what Elijah says, and she makes this cake of bread, and she feeds it first to Elijah, and they live off this oil and flour for many days. It doesn't say how long exactly. But then after some time, her son dies. He gets sick and he dies, and the woman says, why have you come here to help us live longer just to let my son die? And she's so grieved, and Elijah is so grieved, and he, in his grief, cries out to God, and he throws himself out over this boy and lays down on top of him as he prays. He does it not once, not twice, but three times, and then God raises this child from the dead. It's an amazing moment. And then God speaks to Elijah and says, go back to King Ahab and tell him that the rain is coming. And it's fair to say that Ahab doesn't exactly love Elijah. It's kind of his least favorite prophet of all the prophets. He'd rather have any other prophet come to him than Elijah. He's like, you only have to give me bad news. Maybe that's what you're doing, King Ahab. And then we read this in chapter 18, verse 18 of 1 Kings. I have made no trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. You and your family are the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped images of Baal instead. Now summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who have supported by Jezebel. Jezebel's King Ahab's wife. And so we have this God contest that happens afterwards. All these prophets of Baal and Asherah gather together, and all the people of Israel gather together. And Elijah says, okay, set up your altar to God. I'm going to set up my altar to my God, and we're going to call down fire from heaven, and whoever's God burns up the offering will know is the true God. And they're all like, yeah, all right, bring it on. It sounds like a good idea. And the prophets of Baal and Asherah, they're crying out to their gods, and they're cutting themselves, and they are dancing and calling on their gods. And Elijah starts getting a little bit cheeky and mocking them, and nothing happens. And then Elijah says, okay, come and pour some water all over the offering. And after they pour more water on the offering and more water on the offering, Elijah then prays out loud and says, Lord God, let these people know that you are the true and living God. And fire comes flashing down from heaven. It burns up the offering. It burns up the wood. It burns up the stones. It burns up the ground around it even. And the water is absorbed. And the people fall on their faces saying, truly the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. It's a moment of God's power declared to the people. And then it says all the prophets of Baal and Asherah are put to death that day. And then the next part of the story is Elijah goes up the mountain and prays and says to his servant, tell me if you see any clouds coming. And there's a little fist-sized cloud, and he says, I hear the sound of rain. Go and tell Ahab to get home, because otherwise he's not going to be able to drive his chariot through the mud. It's going to be so wet. And then we see Elijah outruns his chariot. God gives him supernatural power. And I'm sure any of us that like running and like sprinting, Nathaniel, maybe you've prayed this prayer. God, give me supernatural speed to be able to run faster than the chariot. And he outruns the chariot all the way back to Jezreel, their home place. And then we get to 1 Kings 19. I want to read from verse 1. It says, when Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed the prophets of Baal. So Ahab and Jezebel fell down on their faces and cried out in repentance and wanted to worship God. If only it said that. It doesn't say that. It says, so Jezebel sent this message to Elijah, may the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. And then it tells us that Elijah lays down and he sleeps. He is depressed. He sleeps, and then the angel of the Lord comes. And it's interesting, and so many times as we read an angel appears to someone, what's the first thing the angel says to the person? Fear not, do not be afraid. But that's not what happens here. The angel of the Lord appears to Elijah, and it says he touched him. He touched him and he said, get up and eat. And there's fresh bread sitting there. I mean, hallelujah, who's excited? There's fresh bread, and Elijah gets up, he eats, and then he lays down and he sleeps. He's still depressed. And then the angel of the Lord comes again, and he touches him. He says, Elijah, get up and eat. And he eats, and he says, others, you're not going to be strong enough for the journey ahead. You know, church, we are spiritual beings created in the image of God. God breathed his breath of life into us. But we are physical too. We are body, soul, and spirit. We have mental, emotional, social needs that we get sick if we don't look after ourselves. Just let that sink in for a moment. Then Elijah gets some exercise. It's interesting. We need exercise too. Elijah travels to Mount Sinai, interestingly, the same place that Moses has God appear to him on the mountain. And the Lord says to him when he gets to Mount Sinai, what are you doing here, Elijah? And we've got to acknowledge every time God asks the question, it is not so that God can get wisdom. It's not like God's sitting at the mountain, he sees Elijah and he's like, hey, Elijah, what are you doing here? It's like he's not confused. He's not wondering what Elijah is doing. But if God asks the question, we need to stop and ask ourselves, what's God wanting us to realize? What's God wanting us to see? And God listens to Elijah's answer. And to be honest, his answer actually reveals so much about his heart and what's going on. But we can so easily miss it. Why is Elijah there? Why did Elijah go back to Jezreel, where he knew King Ahab and Jezebel lived? Why did he go back there? Like, you got this king that hates you and Jezebel who hates you ever more. Why did he go back there? I have to wonder if maybe, just maybe, after all that has happened, the fire that's fallen from heaven, maybe Elijah had presumed that surely now King Ahab and Jezebel, they are going to fall on their knees. They are going to repent. They are going to bow down in repentance before God, and all Israel is going to be turned around. Or maybe he's thinking, you know what? All Israel has seen what has happened today. They know that the Lord is the true and living God. They are going to throw out this guy. They're going to get rid of this king and appoint a new and godly king. But it didn't happen. Instead, Elijah gets a death threat and he runs for his life in absolute fear. He leaves his servant behind and he wants to quit. He just wants to die. I wonder if you've ever been in a place where you just wanted to quit. Maybe you wanted to quit something that God had called you to. Maybe it was some ministry. Maybe it was some workplace. Maybe it was some person that God had called you to. Maybe it was life itself, as we heard some testimonies about last week, that life just seemed too much. I wonder if you've ever wanted to quit. I have. I've had my moments. You do everything you feel like God has called you to do. You pour your heart and your soul and your everything into this thing that you feel God is calling you to do and to be, and you do it day after day, week after week, year after year, and you pour yourself into it, and it seems like nothing changes. Have you ever been in that place? You don't have to put up your hand. Elijah says to God, I have zealously served you. I've done everything I can, but Israel is still in ruins. It's a mess. They've turned away from you and now they just want to kill me. It's like Elijah saying to God, what is the deal? What's the deal, God? I tried, I've done it, I obeyed you, and it still hasn't changed. And then we see God's response in verse 11 of chapter 19. God says, go out and stand before me on the mountain. And the Lord told him, and as Elijah stood there, notice he hasn't even had a chance to move. The Lord passed by and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Some translations say a still, small voice. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What does God say? He says, go out and stand before me. And Elijah doesn't even have a chance to move. And there's this mighty wind that tears the rocks apart. And there's an earthquake and there's a fire. But God isn't in those things. Now, God had spoken at other times to other people in fire and wind and in earthquakes. And we see God speak to Moses, and all Israel was afraid to come into his presence because of the shaking and the stuff going on. We see at Pentecost, God again moves in power, and there's a mighty rushing wind, and there's flames like tongues of fire on people's heads. Remember back to what we read in 1 Corinthians 10. God's people were led by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. They was provided manna from heaven, water from a rock. He parted the ocean for them. But did they all cry out to him and respond in a way that pleased God? No. And then God speaks to Elijah. After the fire, the wind and the earthquake, there's a still small voice, like a gentle whisper. And he says again, what are you doing here, Elijah? And then Elijah, he hasn't changed. The fire, the wind, and the earthquake haven't changed him. He says the exact same thing to God again. I've served you zealously, God. I've done all that I could and nothing's changed. It's all a waste. I'm the only one left. God is so patient. God is so patient with us. It reminds me so much of Gideon. God comes, the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and he says, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like, but I'm so weak and I can't do this. And God, why is this happening? And God turns to him and says, go in this strength of yours. And again, God replies to Elijah, go back the way you came. And he gives him specific instructions about the people he wants him to go and anoint, and Elisha and others that he wants them to go and minister to. It's like God is saying to Elijah, I have more for you to do, Elijah. Your work is not finished. It's not over. Go back the way you came and finish the work that I've called you to. It's like God is saying to Elijah, Elijah, stop looking at people's responses. Elijah, don't worry about what Jezebel says about you. Don't look at what the people are saying. You follow me. Follow me, Elijah. Can't help but remember in John 21, Jesus saying the same thing to Peter. Peter, when Jesus is speaking to him about feed my sheep, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And Peter sees John walking past and he's like, I think I need to share the burden on someone else. It's like, but Jesus, what about him? Let's divert the attention for a minute, get it off me. And Jesus says, don't worry about him, Peter. You follow me. You do what I've called you to. I was reading some words by Tim Keller, a great man of God who's gone to be with Jesus just recently. He was reflecting on these passages about Elijah. And I love his reflection and what he says here. I'm going to read it to you. Tim Keller's reflection on this passage, he says, you are more sinful than you ever dared believe. But you are more loved and accepted in Christ than you ever dared to hope. I just want to read that again. You are more sinful than you ever dared believed. I think of the verse that talks about all our good deeds are just filthy rags before God, all our best deeds. But you are more loved and accepted in Christ than you ever dared to hope. What does he mean? I think we can be tempted, like Elijah, to think that our actions, the things that we do, can change anything. I mean, we can do stupid things at times. We can do bad things and go, God, I've messed it all up. You're never going to love me. You can never use me anymore. Has anyone ever prayed? No, don't put your hand up. We can feel like we've messed it up beyond what God could ever fix. And God's like, hang on, who's more powerful? Your mistakes or what I've done for you on the cross? Your sin is more... We are more sinful than we ever dared believe. But his love and his acceptance in Christ is greater than you ever dared hope. And sometimes we can do things. We can share the love of God with someone. We can pray for someone. I was talking to a pastor just this week who has a real gift of healing upon his life. And he prays for so many people and people are healed. And he says, it's amazing. You pray for them and they're healed and they're so excited. And then he said, now, would you like me to pray for you that you can give your life to Jesus? And they're like, no thanks. And they walk away. Fire, wind, earthquake, healing, and still they just walk away. But what we do can change nothing, but God by his Spirit can do everything. It's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord in people's hearts and lives. Elijah prays and fire falls from heaven. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine right now if we all said, okay, we're going outside, we're going to make some altars. We're going to see whose altar gets the fire. We're not going to do it, but just imagine for a moment. You set up a little pile of sticks and you call down fire from heaven. God, please demonstrate your power today. Send fire and burn up these sticks. Imagine for a moment. We went outside, you set up your little altar to God and he sent fire from heaven. It like zoomed down like lightning and your little pile of sticks burned up and the ground around it was burned up and everyone's like going, whoa, that was amazing. How would you be feeling? You'd be pretty excited. I think you'd be pretty encouraged that there is a living God who hears your prayer. Your faith would be going, I can conquer anything right now. And Elijah's thinking, surely everyone's going to be changed in this moment. But they're not. Then Elijah has this experience, the wind, the earthquake, the fire. But did those things change Elijah? No. He prays the very same prayer to God in the next verse. And then there's the still small voice and it changes his heart. He goes back and he hears God's call to go back and he goes and he anoints Elisha and it continues on. We are more sinful than we ever dare to believe. We do not deserve any of God's grace, his love and his mercy, and yet God has poured it out for us. God is so much more loving and accepting than we dare to even hope. That he chooses us to know him is the greatest miracle. It's the greatest gift we can ever know. He still chooses us despite our sin. He still chooses to use us to be God's hands and feet to the people around us. And God can change people's hearts through our love for them, God's love for them through us. He sends us out that the world might know his love through us. God is so gracious. I've got 4 points, 4 reflections as we think about this passage, about Elijah. Now ask the band to come up as I share these 4 points. Number one, don't forget that you're human. Do not forget that you are human and that God is the God who reigns in heaven. He is God and I am not. I can do nothing except what he calls me to do. You can do nothing apart from him. Don't look at all the things you think you can do or can't do. Just look to him and say, God, what do you want from me? He is God and I am not. Don't forget that you're human. You have human needs. You have human physical and spiritual needs. We need to be fed. We need to be building ourselves up in the Lord. We need to be looking after our human bodies. I know I was sharing with some pastors through the week about my journey of cycling and how I used to train 30 hours a week and then I gave up the bike. But then I got to a point and I looked in the mirror one day and I thought, I need to go for a bike ride. I'm going to become one of those people my brother talks about. He warned me, he said, Andrew, there's a lot of former pro cyclists that are very large. Be careful what you eat and how you don't exercise. We need to look after our physical bodies. We are human. Point number two, do not isolate yourself when you go through seasons of struggle. We all go through seasons of struggle. Maybe it's what's going on that's great and then things don't change, or maybe it's something terrible that's happened and you're thinking, God, what's the deal? Do not isolate yourself when you go through seasons of struggle. Turn to God. Ask for help. Do not push people away. It's interesting, Elijah, he runs off and he sends his servant away. He says, I'm done, go. I'm going by myself, I'm on my own. I give up. Don't push people away. Cry out to God and let people gather around you. That's why church is so special, that we come together every Sunday, no matter what's going on in our lives. And we can, one of my greatest joys is before the service, seeing people chatting and sharing with each other and praying for each other. Before the service has even started, pray for each other. And as after church, as people gather together and just chatting for each other, as we're praying for each other, it's one of my greatest joys to see the body at work. Let's not isolate ourselves. Let's ask God for help and ask one another for help. Point number three, follow God's example. When you come across people that are feeling depressed, when you come across someone who is struggling, someone who's overwhelmed, follow God's example. Don't go up to them and just say, fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Just give them a hug. Care for them. If it's appropriate, give them a hug. Feed them. Bring them some fresh bread. Bring them some translations say there was a cake sitting on the rock. I think it was a cake of bread. Maybe you could bring them a cake. Oh. Feed them physically, spiritually, emotionally. Feed them. Bring encouragement. Don't try and analyze what they're doing. Don't just try and tell them what they should be doing. Just encourage them. Spend some time with them. And then let them go back to sleep. Then come back and do it again. And say, hey, let's go for a walk. Just like Elijah did. Let's go for a run. Let's go for a bike ride. Follow God's example. He cared for him, he fed him, he touched him, and he listened. And then he cared, he touched, and he listened again. And then after the earthquake and the fire and the wind, because you know sometimes when we listen there's lots of stuff going on, and then we can just be still. And then maybe God's going to speak by his still small voice, a voice that they wouldn't otherwise hear. Follow God's example. And point number four, find your joy in obedience to him. Because we cannot change any person's heart. We cannot change any circumstance. It's only by the power of God. Just had a thought pop in my head. I'm like, God, is it okay to share that? When I was in Sydney, I caught up with a young guy I know. He'd just come out of prison. It was fantastic. came out of prison and the people said to him, who can we call? He's like, I don't really have any friends. He's like, oh, there's one guy I could probably call. And he rang me. And he was like, oh, hey, Andrew, I just came out of prison. I'm like, oh, cool. That's good. It's good you haven't just gone in. And he goes, I'm in Sydney. And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm coming up to Sydney next week. And we caught up. It's only by the Spirit of God that I went to Sydney. Like, I haven't been to Sydney for years. But God knows. He directs our paths. And we can't change a person's life. I pray that that guy never goes back into prison again. But I know he's got a life and he's got a choice. And he's got a will. And we cannot change anybody's heart. But let's find our joy in obedience to him, not in the results, not in people's reactions, not in what people's praise or discouragements might say to you. Hear the voice of God and find your joy in obedience to him. I love what Vi was sharing about the park. Love your obedience just to what God is saying on the plane and on the train and everywhere else as well. I've just got some verses I want to share really quickly as we come to a close. Psalm 119, verse 89 to 93 says this, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. Your faithfulness extends to every generation, as enduring as the earth you created. Your regulations remain true to this day, for everything serves your plans. If your instructions hadn't sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery. I will never forget your commandments, for by them you give me life. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. When I discovered your words, I devoured them. Do you hear the joy? They are my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God of heaven's armies. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. John 15, verse 9 to 12. We read it a couple of weeks ago. Jesus says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. If we understand that God loves us, if we understand he is good, he is gracious and kind, and he gives us commands, we will joyfully obey his commandments. And as we obey, we remain in his love, and we have a joy that cannot be taken away. When you obey my commandments, you may remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. And final one in Psalm 1, verse 1 to 6. It's so interesting. The psalmist, he starts off, and really I think this sums up the Psalms. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the wicked path of the wicked leads to destruction. Let's find our joy in obedience to him, church. Let's listen to his call to love one another and be the church that he desires. Can we stand this morning as we close in prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, God, we just thank you today that you are such a gracious and merciful God. And Lord, your love for us is greater than we could ever understand or imagine. Lord, I just want to acknowledge, Lord God, that I know that we are sinners who do not deserve all that you have done for us, Lord Jesus, but you came and gave yourself upon the cross for us, that we could have forgiveness and eternal life through you. It's not by our might, it's not by our good works, it's not by our power, but it's by your Spirit. And Lord, I just pray for anyone who is feeling some sense of discouragement, Lord God, any sense of hopelessness, Lord God, that has come upon anyone in this place, Lord, anyone watching online, Lord God, anyone that we know, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, we would delight ourselves in you again. That, Lord, not like Elijah who saw what had happened and felt like it was useless, it hadn't gone how he wanted it to go, but God, I just pray that you would fill us with hope again, Lord God. That, Lord, you would fill us with joy in simply hearing your call and obeying. That, Lord, our delight would be to delight ourselves in you. Lord, help us, Lord, to love and care for one another. Give us wisdom and grace with one another, Lord, I pray, as we be your church, your hands and feet, and see your spirit move in this land, in Jesus' name.